As the number of COVID-19 cases continues to decline in Washtenaw County and state restrictions are easing, it might be a bit confusing to some people to figure out what we should be doing or where we can be going at this time. This is Lisa Berry, so we're checking in with Washtenaw County Health Department spokesperson Susan Cerniglia, who's been on top of this health situation from the get-go and a source of much information to us here on WEMU, which we are truly appreciative of. Susan, thanks for all your connections and hard work and information.
Absolutely. Happy to help.
Where are we exactly? Have the numbers gone down? Have they stabilized?
Well, we have really seen here locally what I call stabilized numbers. We're continuing to see right around 2 to 5 cases per day. So definitely much lower, but also still there. And it's changed a little bit very recently as to what we're seeing, because some of those cases are now being identified through pre-testing, like for surgical operations or procedures. I think most folks know those things have kind of ramped back up again since COVID cases in general have gone down. So some folks without symptoms are being tested prior to getting some sort of surgery, and some of those are coming back positive. Not a huge amount, but we're certainly seeing some, which makes sense because we weren't doing a lot of testing of asymptomatic people and really still aren't. But overall, it's important to remember, too, cases are down, they're not gone. So that's still a reason that we need to be cautious when we're out, take preventative actions to really reduce the spread. Even though we're all very tired of maintaining our distance, that doesn't mean anything about the virus itself has changed. It's likely still circulating. We've just done a good job of maintaining that space and distance, and we've slowed it down incredibly well.
How much should people, or should they at all, let their guard down now in protecting themselves from the virus?
Well, we're trying to change that messaging really to talk about, you know, it's not so much, we get the question a lot, is it safe to do this?
Right.
Is it safe to do that? And we really have to change that question as well as how we're going about things. Think about it as being safer versus completely unsafe, because none of the strategies we have in place by themselves are going to be 100% effective or realistic, right? We can't stay away from people 100% of the time. But if you can reduce the amount of time and the number of people that you contact and how close you are together, those things like time and proximity do matter. So that's where we start talking about that physical distance of 6 feet, that face covering, and the washing hands and the sanitizing hands, all really important. Another way to think about it is, for example, if you're one of the folks who ends up testing positive, either because you had symptoms or without symptoms, part of what happens for us as a health department to try and track and control that illness is that we are going to do a detailed interview about everywhere you've been and anyone you've had close contact in the prior 48 hours to your symptoms, if you had symptoms, right? So if you think about everyone that you had close contact, so that's more than 10 minutes, less than 6 feet, without necessarily a barrier or a face covering, that person would be potentially exposed, right? So we're going to make a list of all of those people, and they're going to be alerted to their potential exposure. So the smaller you can keep that group of people that you've had that kind of contact with, or the more barriers in terms of distance and face coverings that you can put in between, the safer everybody's going to be.
So now restaurants are open in Michigan, many who have chosen to go ahead and open, and others are still working on it. Hair salons are opening this week. You feeling good about going ahead and going to these places from a public health standpoint?
Well, again, from us in terms of public health, we're, wary because nothing's really changed in terms of the virus. The reason it's likely that we have fewer cases is because we've been doing that social distancing, keeping that physical distancing, using coverings. So to the extent that we can reopen things and keep those changes in place, those face coverings, as much distance as possible, good hand washing and cleaning, that should also make a difference. Obviously, we need to start trying, right? We can't stay isolated forever. And the more that we can do that and do that carefully and proceed forward slowly, we can start to pay close attention to what that looks like. And I think there's another hard thing to remember in there, too, is that we'll be like, oh, things have been open, you know, for a week and everything's okay and we haven't seen new cases or we might be checking them every day. We have to really remember that it's going to take several weeks to see the impact of that. This is a virus that has a 14-day incubation period, meaning you could be exposed and it can take up to 14 days to see that. So we're not going to necessarily see the impact on cases tomorrow or even this week. We've got to keep reminding ourselves to be as safe as possible, choose those safer activities, implement some of those protections, and keep going forward slowly and cautiously.
Let's talk about masks for a minute. There seems to be a lot of confusion and controversy about wearing a mask in public. Is it required or recommended?
It's, I mean, there are state orders essentially in place, which would be required to use them in enclosed public spaces. But, you know, when you dig into all the details of those orders, they can get quickly confusing. And there have to be exceptions, right? Because we know some people can't medically tolerate a mask that could interfere with their breathing, and they're not recommended for the little ones under two. But generally, for everyone else, it is required and not recommended. But as we know, that has become politicized, for lack of a better word. And even though it's a solid public health intervention and prevention strategy, it's gotten really mixed in with everything else, and it makes it problematic for folks to enforce. So at the end of the day, for us in public health, it's really a requirement, but we know that there are and have to be exceptions.
What would you do if you went to a restaurant and someone greeting you at the door was not wearing a mask?
Well, that to me might speak to me about the procedures and safety measures that the facility has in place for both their employees as well as the public. So I likely have other choices of where to go. So I might do that. You know, none of us wants to necessarily be in this situation, but nor do we want to have people at higher risk and more cases. So face coverings really is a fairly simple intervention that we're seeing, as we learn more about this particular virus, can have a big impact. But I think other part of the frustration has been that you know, messaging seems to have flip-flopped and changed. You know, at the beginning of this, especially when we didn't have as much understanding of the potential for spreading it without symptoms, there wasn't this widespread recommendation for face coverings. However, we have long known and long promoted in public health that a face covering over someone who's symptomatic or ill can greatly reduce their chances of spreading a respiratory virus. And that's really where we're at right now, right? That face covering protects someone from unknowingly spreading the virus.
Are you concerned about people participating in all these mass protests and demonstrations, huge crowds gathering, not necessarily social distancing?
Certainly, yeah. As we've said, you know, not a lot has changed about the virus. It's potentially still circulating. So anytime we have larger groups and larger numbers of people in closer quarters, there's concern for us from a public health infection control standpoint. That said, I've also seen a lot of, you know, emphasis on folks trying to do that as safely as possible and trying to use those face coverings and maintain some distance. So yeah, certainly, you know, and it's not only the protests and the gathering, but there's lots of other out and about, and people have been cooped up for a long time and are frustrated in many, many different ways. So there's certainly a lot of activity and gathering happening all over. So we're just, you know, really it's our job as public health to continue to provide as much information we can about doing things as safely as possible, given the reality of this virus and what we know about it.
And the Washtenaw County Health Department put out a list of a number of COVID-19 associated deaths among county residents in March through May 2020 versus similar rankings from 2018, which I'm assuming is the last time you got that data. How did it rank, and what do you make of how it came in?
COVID came right in there in that comparison, as you mentioned, is the seventh leading cause.
Seventh leading cause.
And that was in just those 3 months, you know, that we've been talking about. So you could certainly sort of take that comparison a little bit farther if you're actually looking at a whole year, because this is a very short time frame and we're seeing it show up in that top causes of death. So, you know, we've got more than 100 deaths locally. In some ways, that might not seem like a lot, but those are all residents and community members with families for whom this illness cut short their lives. So that is significant. We don't see that kind of impact necessarily with other types of illnesses in just a few months.
Susan Cerniglia, spokesperson for the Washtenaw County Health Department. Thanks so much for joining us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Absolutely. Thank you.